Parsha Vayikra, Vayikra Rabba, Perek Aleph, Siv Zayin. The Pasuk of Mishlei says, "Following Yisrael, Rabba Nimu Kli Yakar Siv Zedat." There is gold, and there's many pearls, but the most precious kli are the lips that speak knowledge. So here's the pshat: Yisrael, everyone gave a donation to the Mishkan. Made of Zav. Meaning everyone gave a donation of gold to the Mishkan. That's Yesh Zav. Rab Peninim, a lot of people gave stones. So not only the people, the Nisim, who were also there, the Nisim gave other gifts of special stones. They gave the stones that were there for the Choshen. The Kli Yoker Siv Seidas, says the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu got very, very upset. He got upset. He had Halisha Sadas. And he said that I never brought anything to the Mishkan. Everyone else gave something to the Mishkan, but I didn't give anything. And he got all upset. How come everyone else got to give, but I didn't get to give? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, don't worry, the greatest thing of all are lips that speak out with knowledge. Your lips are the greatest thing I could possibly have, and your dibur is very special to me. And therefore, the pasuk starts off by Yikra al Moshe, that God called out to Moshe Rabbeinu by Dabar Hashem Elo Me'ol Moed Lemor, that he spoke to him. Very strange medrash. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu give anything to the Mishkan? Why didn't he give anything? So there's three basic answers that people give, and then we're going to give two answers that knock out both of those. Three basic answers. The three basic answers is the easiest answer, which I've never seen in a specific sefer, but it's the answer that people say, that Moshe Rabbeinu had no money. He had no money. Why didn't he have any money? When he... When he left Mitzrayim, everybody else was Osik in getting the gold and the silver out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu tried to get Yosef's kever. He tried to get Yosef's kever, so he never got any gold. He never got any silver, so he didn't have any money. And his wife and kids weren't there. His wife and kids were with Yisro, so he himself never had any money. He had absolutely nothing. People give the Gedolim money when they need it. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need anything. You know, it wasn't like he was going around and, you know, getting anything. So he was perfectly fine. So he didn't have anything that was considered his own, therefore he had absolutely nothing to give. Now, the Reb Avram, the son of the Gra, goes a little bit further. He says that some say he was makdish all his money, that he did get money from the sapphire stones, the extra sapphire that came from the second luchos, and he had that money, but he took that and he was makdish it all, so he gave it already to the Beis Mikdash, but he couldn't give anything specific for the Mishkan. In other words, he donated, everything he had was for God. So he didn't have the ability to give a gift now to the Mishkan. He didn't have that ability to give it after HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him that Tzibu, he was already too late. That's the second answer people get from Rav Avram, the son of the Gra. The third answer I found in a sefer called the this was years ago. Red Sefer. Pardes Yosef. Pardes Yosef is the third answer. The third answer is in Vayakel. Perek Lamed Heich Pasuk Chof Zayin. It says the Nesiim, the clouds came to him. Instead of the Nesiim bringing the stones, there's a medrash that says that all the clouds that gave all the stones of the Choshen came to Moshe Rabbeinu, dropped it on his front steps, and Moshe Rabbeinu gave it over the Nesiim, and then the Nesiim, the clouds that brought the stones. There's a whole medrash about that, that the stones were brought by clouds. And those stones he gave to the Nesiim, and the Nesiim donated it to the Mishkan. So he didn't donate it directly, he donated it indirectly through the Nesiim, and therefore it just wasn't the same. Okay, those are the three Pashan answers. Now, let's go into a different one. Rav Schwab asks, why didn't he bring anything? Why didn't he bring anything? So he says an unbelievable answer, Rav Schwab. So he says, the Pasuk says in Parshas Truma and Parshas Vayakel also, Daber al B'nei Yisrael, the Yikhu li Truma. Speak to B'nei Yisrael and take for me a gift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mottering the Jews to give gifts to the Mishkan. Now here's the pshat. You would think that a house built for God cannot be made out of money that I have in my pocket. My money is tainted because there's a little bit of desire in that money. There's a little bit of tumah in that money. And I might have gotten it by unscrupulous means. I might have gotten it in a bad way. And even if I didn't get it that way, the mitzvah who originally had the money might have put some tumah on the money. It's all Egyptian money. So maybe all that money that they got from Mitzrayim was usher for them to use. So you would think, even if it wasn't usher to use, maybe it was able to be used. But it wasn't the right thing to do. That wasn't the best thing to do. They probably should have used some other type of money. So you would think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have let anything be used for the Mishkan. None of it would have been able to be used for the Mishkan. They have to use special money. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no. Daber al B'nei Yisrael B'yichu L'Truma, they can give me a gift. B'nei Yisrael is allowed to go ahead and give me a gift. Only they have Rishos. You want to know what the Raya is? The Erev Rav never donated a thing to the Mishkan. Now, one thing, they didn't accept anything. Very similar to Bris. You go to a Brisker yeshiva, if you don't keep Shabbos, the Briskers don't accept your money. Don't accept your money. They don't take any money from the government in Eretz Yisrael. They only take money from people that they know are scrupulous in their business and that they keep Shabbos. It's a very hard combination to find nowadays. You should know.
But they don't take money if you don't hold by the
Don't hold by the hair of the chagah because they hold that that person's machal Shabbos. So yeah, 100%. They will only take money from certain people. So too, Moshe Rabbeinu allowed Bnei Yisrael to take money, but only certain people are allowed to give money. The Erev Rav were not. The Erev Rav never gave. So who is permitted?
Why not?
God, why weren't they? Yeah. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want any money from the Erev Rav. He knew they were evil inside. Didn't want any money from them. Didn't want to accept anything from them. He wanted the Mishkan to be as good as the Kavana of the person behind it. And the intentions of Bnei Yisrael was good intentions, and therefore it was all good.
But where was Mitzvah money?
Even though it was Mitzvah money originally, because the Kavana they were giving it for was the good reason. The Erev Rav were giving it for other reasons, for Kavod or for other reasons that were involved. And therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu said, no, absolutely not. I'm not taking any of their money. I'm only taking from them. Moshe Rabbeinu was never permitted. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu had great kavanas, he could make a kal v'chomer if Bnei Yisrael is giving kol shekein, I can give, but he never had the heter. Da bero Bnei Yisrael v'yichuli truma. Speak to Bnei Yisrael and they will take from me truma. But you, I never mattered you. I never said that you can go ahead and give it. I'm sorry?
He's not Bnei Yisrael.
He's not part, he said to speak over to Bnei Yisrael, which doesn't necessarily include Moshe Rabbeinu. And because that he never ended up giving. That's what it means by that. That's how and that's why he was saying, Diburo Chavivalah. No, I'd rather have your Dibur. I'd rather have Daber O Bnei Yisrael be Yichuli Truma. I don't want you to actually give, I want you to just speak it over to Bnei Yisrael, and that's the end of the Medrash. But the Sefer HaRedim, I did the Sefer for the first time this week, I picked up the Sefer on Eretz Yisrael. Sefer HaRedim is the famous, he was linked by the time to Arizal. The Arizal said about him that one time the Arizal took all the Talmidim. One time he was only there for one Lag BaOmer. So the Arizal was in Tzfas with all of his Talmidim, and he took everybody to go to Miron to Rosh Hashanah Yochai on Lag BaOmer. So the Arizal went there with everybody, and when they got there, they started dancing in a circle, and this very tall, beautiful looking man came and started dancing with them. The Arizal started dancing with them in a circle. Afterwards, the tall man pulled in the gabbai of one of the shoals there and started dancing around with him instead of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And afterward, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai went and danced with him, with that guy, with that gabbai, and the tall man disappeared. So he went. So they told the Arizal, what are you dancing with the gabbai for? Like, what's he? You know, he's no chashivas. So Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, so the Arizal said that taller guy that was there, that was Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And if Reb Shimon Bar Yochai can dance with them, then certainly I can dance with them. They did a little bit of investigative research, and they realized that this gabbai of the shul was an unbelievable, massive Talmud Chacham named the Sefer HaRedim. He wrote a sefer called the Sefer HaRedim. So the Sefer HaRedim asks, where is the remez for this? How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu never really donated anything or anything like that? So he quotes a pasuk Lamed Hey Chaf Aleph in last week's Parsha, in Parsha Vayakel, I should say. Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The pasuk says, here we go. Vayavo anashim al anashim, and they brought it, the man and the woman. So it should say ubo, something like that. Ha anashim al anashim. So he says the vav yud is for a boy, for oive. That Moshe Rabbeinu said oive, vayavo as in boy, vau anashim al anashim. That all the men and the women brought it together, and that I wasn't able to do it. And therefore, in the beginning of this week's parsha, he made the aleph in vayikra small, because he said I'm the lowest of all the people in Klal Yisrael. Everybody else in Klal Yisrael were able to give something, and I didn't do a thing. I didn't do anything. So I'm the lowest of every person in Klal Yisrael. That's why he made the aleph small. I'm worse than them. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Godol Hama'ase Yoser Min Ha'ose. The guy who tells other people to do it and forces other people to do it is greater than the guy who does it himself. You are the Ma'ase. And you're greater by telling them to go ahead and do it. You're greater than everybody else. But still, that doesn't answer. Says the Sefer HaRedim, but that doesn't answer. How in the world didn't he go around and just go to his house, pick up something, and go donate it to the base of it, to the Mishkan? Why wouldn't he just go in and bring something to the Mishkan? Unbelievable answer. You know what the pshat is? Moshe Rabbeinu was going around to every person there. He went up and he said, did you bring yet? Did you bring yet? Did you bring yet? Did you bring yet? He went up to everybody. He spent 2 days going around to every person in Klal Yisrael, making sure that they brought. He himself never went home. For 2 days, 2 days and two nights, he didn't spend a single second not trying to get other people to give. So he didn't have any time. He had no time. Then all of a sudden, after 2 days, they said, we got everything we need. He said, all right, that's it. We're not taking any more stuff. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, but I didn't bring anything yet. I didn't even get home yet. I didn't have the ability to give anything yet. And Moshe Rabbeinu realized that that was deceived from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he wasn't able to. That's the idea. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, don't worry. You're Dibor, and you're going ahead and getting other people involved with unselfish. And I like that much better than I like the people themselves, than you yourself donating. He did put the lukos in, but that wasn't a donation. That was because it belonged there. Yeah, but it wasn't a donation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to be in there. That was part of the tzivui. The lukos have to be inside the Aron Kodesh. But he did set up the Mishkan. That's what they do bring, but that's a little bit different. All right. We all know what Parshas Vayikra is all about. Korbanos. There are five different types of korbanos. There's an ola, which is entirely burnt. An asham and a chatas, which are parts are eaten by the Kohanim, parts are eaten by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The difference between an asham and a chatas is what you bring them for. A chatas is for certain types of sins that you might have been chayiv kares for, you might have been chayiv something else. And an asham is a special sin that's mentioned in the Torah for certain things. There's asham vadais, asham talois, that's number three. Number four is a shlomim. A shlomim is a peace offering that can be brought at any time. A toda, a korban toda, Thanksgiving offering is part of a shlomim. The fifth one is a mincha, a flower offering. A peace offering, that's going to be part of what we're about to speak about. But the idea is that a person wants to donate something to the Mishkan. He wants to donate an extra animal so that it looks like the Mishkan is always being used, the Mizbeach is always being used, so the guy donates a shlomen, or he can donate a toda or something like that. And the fifth one is a mincha. Mincha is a flower offering. It has nothing to do with an animal. It's just a flower offering usually brought with shemen and lavona, oil and frankincense. If it's a chatas, if it's a minchas chatas for somebody that did something wrong and he wants to bring a mincha, then there's no shemen, there's no lavona, there's nothing added on. Those are the five different types of korbanos. Why do we bring korbanos? Simple question, not such a simple answer. We're going to go through two... Wait, we have to go... They didn't have davening back then. It was a good answer. A good answer, but that's not the answer. It's not the answer. I'm going to tell you a famous machlokas. I'm going to explain the machlokas in probably seven different ways, if I count all together. It's going to be seven different shatim on that machlokas. And then one is going to be from Rabbi Shetzer, so he'll be happy about that. It's from 5 years ago. And the next one is going to be, then we're going to try to answer up with one other thing, try to add on to it to make it all go together. The Rambam and Mori Nevuchim. Rambam Mori Nevuchim says, we bring three different types of animals. What types of animals do we bring as a korban? And only three. No, animals as in mammals, I should say. Birds, yes, we bring. Turim b'nei Yonah. A sheep, goat, and?
Cow.
Sheep, goat, and cow. A ram is actually, if it's a male sheep, then it's fine. But if it's a wild ram, then obviously it can't be brought. Nothing wild. Why? Says the Rambam Mori Nevuchim, to combat the Avodah Zarah at the time. The Kastium and the Hindus nowadays worship the cow. They worship the cow and they consider the cow to combat the Avodah Zarah. So what that means, to combat, I should say. The Hindus / the Kastim used to worship cows. The Egyptians, we know, worshipped sheep. And goats were worshipped by all of Europe. Yafes worshipped the goats. I don't want to really go into it right now, but if you ever seen Narnia, you know that goat guy? Chronicles of Narnia? I didn't see it, but I have read the book by C.S. Lewis. Very, very good books. He's a big Christian guy. But I don't suggest you read it. But Narnia, you know that goat guy? That goat guy is supposed to stand for something called a satyr. It's the S-A-T-Y-R. I don't know how to pronounce it exactly. Satyr, whatever it is. But satyr. So it's a goat person. Let's just put it, they are full of znus. It was something that the Europeans came up with, and they worshipped goats for that reason. They felt that goats were a high up thing. We show, by being makriv of those things, they're not gods. We're giving it to our God. And that way it'll be a refuah, there'll be a healing for the chilul Hashem that's caused by us being makriv of these strange things as korbanos. By us being makriv of these things as korbanos, it'll be, I guess you could say, it would be a refuah for all the other goyim that use them for their avodah zarah. The Ramban asks four questions in this Rambam. He says, number one, you're going to do something so that a couple of idiots are proved wrong? Okay, you have a bunch of idiots out there that think that a goat and a sheep and a cow are holy. They're idiots. So we're going to do something as a mitzvah just to knock those idiots off? I mean, they're just doing something stupid. We don't deal with stupidity, we ignore them. We ignore them. That's number one. Number two, how is that a reach nichoach? A korban we know is called a reach nichoach, or whatever you want to say, a sweet-smelling, beautiful smell, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Something beautiful to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is not beautiful. This is just a knockout of a zara. Where's the reach nichoach? It's like a special thing. What's so special? Number three, doesn't this help them? They'll look at you and they'll say, you're being mocked of them because they're so holy for this world, they don't belong here. You're trying to make them more spiritual so they can be our gods in Shemayim. And so it helps them. What? That's why we eat them. That's why, it would be used as an ola, especially a korban ola. But that would be number three. Number four, who brought the first korban? Who brought the first korban? Adam Arishon. And then who? Cain and Abel. Was there any Avodah Zarah at the time? There was no Avodah Zarah. So why did they bring korbanos? What was the whole idea behind them bringing a korban? They didn't need to bring a korban. It was going to be. So what does that mean? Noach also. Noach came right off the teva. It was makriv a korban. There was no Avodah Zarah. Everybody died. Bilam was makriv a korban so that Hashem would listen to him. But it's a combat of Avodah Zarah. The last thing you want to do is remind him that you're an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. That's not what he will want to do. The Ramban's famous four kashas. Yeah.
Well, actually, I have a question. Why wouldn't they wouldn't try to wage war against them, trying to kill their gods?
We have in Mitzrayim that we have to be afraid of that, but we are told don't worry about it. But you're right. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how the Ramban puts it. Wage war against them. Fight these Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Make them look stupid. That's what he's telling you to do. But obviously, there's something a little bit wrong with this. The four questions of the Ramban are strong kashas. So let's try to understand the Ramban. First of all, number one, the Ramban has to say his answer. The Ramban says, Korban is the lashon of Korva. When a guy sins, he brings himself farther away from God. Not closer to God, he brings himself farther away. And his Korva, as in Karov, close to. So when you sin, you bring yourself farther away from God. By bringing a Korban, you're supposed to bring yourself closer to God. Now, you sin in three different ways. Number one, your thoughts. Number two, your speech. Number three, your actions. I need to bring a kapara for all three. That's why we lean on the animal for our actions. We do vidui. We say, I'm sorry for our speech. And then afterward, what we do is we burn it for our thoughts that are like they're flying up in the air. The blood and the limbs that you put and you burn and you destroy completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu represent your blood and your limbs that you should be up on that mizbeach and you should be dead for sinning against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And only through the mercy of God does HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow this to happen instead. The Or HaChaim says it even stronger. When a person sins, he has a real shtus. He becomes an animal inside him. And if you want to get rid of that animal, you got to take another animal, represent your Yetzer Hara with that, and burn that animal. Destroy that animal, and you have to watch it. You have to watch it. You have to watch your Yetzer Hara being burned on top of that mizbeach and say, that should have been me. That should have been me. I should have died instead of that.
Does that mean that a
Korban was... Oh, that's 100%. Straight out Gemara. If you didn't do vidui, then your Korban is not accepted in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. First thing you got to do is vidui and tshuva, and then you bring a Korban. You can't bring a Korban before tshuva. It counts as nothing. God doesn't want that Korban. And there's Dalid Nisos involved. What's a Dalid Nisos? Skila is by throwing the animal down in order to shechtem. Hereg and chenek, which are both done with little ropes around your neck, is done by shechting the actual animal. Sreifa is by taking the animal and burning it in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You get the Dalid Nisos that you should have with the animal dying instead of you. When Avram brought the isle in front instead of Yitzchak, it says Vayaleu Ola Tachas Beno. He brought his Ola instead of his son. It represented what his son should have been. His son should have died. The Ola became instead of his son, and that's a Reach Nichoach, says the Ramban. It's a Reach Nichoach because you're doing it and you feel closer, and he's closer to you because you feel horrible about what you did. You think you should die, and you're only bringing yourself closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu that way. That's the Reach Nichoach, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is happy with your tshuva. Okay, that's the Ramban. Well, how do we answer up the Rambam? So there's four different answers for the Rambam. Four different answers. Number one, the Ritzvah. So Ritzvah says, and this is what you were saying before, Moshe. It's not about the past. It's about the future. We want to be marchik Avodah Zarah from us. We want to show God that we have nothing to do with the Avodah Zarah that will be there. And Adam and Havel and Noah had nevuahs. They knew that in the future these animals were going to be used for Avodah Zarah. And therefore they were mocked with these animals. And they said at Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're not going to have anything to do with this. We don't want to be part of this Avodah Zarah. The animals are yours. That's what Adam and Noah were doing. He says another answer. Let's go into that. But that's the Reach Nichoach. They were doing it to show Hashem that we're always going to be for you. We're always doing things for you. That's the Ritzvah. That's the first answer for the Rambam. Number two, the Chassam Sofer brings another Rambam. There's a Seer. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Me'ilah. It says that korbanos are a chok. What does a chok mean? No reason. No reason. We have no idea what it's for. But the Rambam just said we know why it's for. What it's for. We said the reason why is to knock down the Avodah Zarah. So what do you mean it's a chok? It's not a chok. It's something that I just could explain to you. I understood it. The Rambam himself in Hilchos Me'ilah. The answer is given by the Chassam Sofer. This answer he says. There were sodos behind it. But the Goyim started doing it and started ruining the reasons behind it and started doing it for their own taivas. Started saying, oh, God is physical and God loves these animals. He gets to eat them. He does this with them. He does that with them. God loves these things. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu started to despise korbanos. He hated them. Because he said the Goyim are using it and they're using it for themselves. Just like a matzeva. A matzeva was what Avraham Avinu did and Yitzchak Avinu. They made matzevas and brought up something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's usher for us to make a matzeva. Because the Goyim took it and they destroyed it. So no longer can we use any matzevas. So too with korbanos. We were never allowed to bring korbanos because the Goyim took it and they destroyed it. They ruined it for us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll allow three of them. Because that's what they use for Avodah Zarah. And I'll let you knock down Avodah Zarah with these three. But otherwise, I don't want you giving any other korbanos. And those korbanos are for the sheep, the goat, and the cow. You want to hear the raya? Such a raya. It says, what did Noach bring as a korban? What did Noach bring as korbanos? Everything. Every kosher animal, he brought 7 or 14 of them onto the table. Why, says Rashi, to knock with korbanos? He brought korbanos from deer. He brought korbanos from bison. He brought korbanos from water buffalo. He brought korbanos from giraffes. He brought korbanos from every wild animal. So why don't we do that? How come we only have 3? Says the Chassam Sofer, this is why. Because originally every animal could be brought as a korban. And La'asid Lavo, every animal can be brought as a korban. But now, the only reason why we're allowed to bring korbanos is to knock down the Goyim, who ruined it for us. Who destroyed this idea for us. That's the only reason why we're allowed to bring it. That's the idea behind the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says another answer. He says, there's 2 reasons. The real reason behind korbanos is a sod beyond what we can understand. The Kuzari says an unbelievable thing. The neshama is part of your goof. But do you understand why the neshama is part of your goof? Do you understand the connection? You have no idea. You just know the neshama is part of your goof. How do they connect with one another? I don't know. But I move my body and my neshama moves as well. I think and my neshama is thinking as well. My neshama is somehow connected to my goof. That's all I know. That's just what I am. That's all I know. Says the Kuzari, there's a chibur between us and Shamayim. And somehow, through us bringing a korban, for whatever reason, it affects things in Shamayim and brings down shefa. Brings down good things for us and makes us have unbelievable things down here in Olam Hazeh. I have no idea how it works. Do you ask a doctor what these drugs do? You don't go to a doctor. The doctor doesn't even know. When he prescribes for you, let's say he prescribes for you some type of medicine. He prescribes T3, Tylenol 3 with codeine. You don't say, what's shot in the Tylenol 3? Explain to me how it works. You don't say that. You understand. The doctor says it. You go ahead and you take it. And even if you ask him, the doctor probably doesn't even know. All he knows is that codeine works and it cures whatever you have. It just works. Not good for a drug, but it's good and it helps you in certain ways. You're not going to hear too many times that I think that codeine is good. But it'll work in a certain way. My wife has a sinus infection, so she's taking T3 with codeine. That's the reason why I brought it up. You just say, you know. They don't know why codeine works. So somebody probably knows. There's probably some chemist out there who knows. But people don't normally know. You don't ask any questions. What's with korbanos? There's a sod behind it that we don't know yet. And we may never know. There's a sod behind it. It's a secret. Adam, Hevel, Noah, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they understood that time. They understood that reason. And they figured it out. And they brought korbanos for the right reasons. But us, we have no idea what the reasons are. So why do we bring korbanos? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, bring korbanos to knock down. And give a reason for it. The reason will be to knock down the Avodah Zarah that's around you.
Why do you say Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov brought it for the right reasons? Because there was Avodah Zarah at the time.
And you're 100% right, but they knew the sodos behind it. But the command that Sivui in the Torah, there probably were people among Klal Yisrael that brought korbanos for the right reason also. Moshe Rabbeinu probably figured it out. Aaron probably figured it out. There were people around. But Bnei Yisrael as a whole didn't get it. And that's why, at the end of our Shemona Esrei, Yotam Venecha Shem Elokeinu V'lokeinu V'seinu, Shibana Beis HaMikdash Minher of Yameinu, the Shomna Vatcha, the Yira, will serve you there, Kimei Olam, Ukshanim Kadmonios, like the days of the world, and like the earlier days, like the earlier years. What's Pshat behind that? Says the Chassam Sofer, a beautiful answer. He says, instead of us bringing korbanos now, because we're trying to knock down Avodah Zarah, because we don't get any other reason, we should give korbanos for the right reason. The reason that was used in the beginning of the world, Kimei Olam, Ukshanim Kadmonios, when they bought the korbanos for the right reason, for the sod behind it. But says the Rambam, but nowadays, we've been korbanos because we're trying to knock down Avodah Zarah. We're trying to knock down the Avodah Zarah within us and to tell us the cow is not a god and the goat is not a god and the sheep is not a god. That's number three. Number four is the Meshach Chochmah.
I'm sorry, why don't we just bring all animals in? Because that was the whole idea, is that we want to knock down Avodah Zarah. There's other places that worship snakes, they worship other crazy animals.
Snakes are never kosher. So you'd have to bring something kosher. You'd have to pick a kosher animal that they worship. So I mean, some of those three were the only ones at the time. There might have been others, but there weren't the ones that the Bnei Yisrael would catch up with. Maybe there was a guy in Australia who was worshipping a kangaroo, but nobody cared. It didn't matter. A kangaroo is, you know what? It's funny that I said that, because I wasn't talking about a kosher animal, but kangaroos do practice something called mericism, which is a form of chewing the cud, and there's machlokas, how to define the definition of a cloven hoof, and it's possible that the way that kangaroos have their foot, it may be considered in the level of cloven, if you consider a rhinoceros cloven. It's a big thing about that. You're right, though. Lamaisa, it's not kosher. But there are ways of saying it. It's funny that I said kangaroo. I didn't mean to. A kangaroo might be a form of the Arneves in the Torah that says that it's usher because it chews its cud, but it doesn't have split hooves. So it might be like the Arneves, and that is a giant rabbit or something like that. And when I told that to Nelson 15 years ago, so he laughed at me. But I laughed right back at him because then he was putting serum. And all of a sudden, I just realized that I'm online. Yeah, joking. Regardless, I did say that to him years ago because I said it should be part of it. Anyway, regardless, yeah, I'm probably going to get in trouble for that. Number four, the Meshach Chochmah says, oh, by the way, he wasn't putting Chayim. That's a lie. I shouldn't say that even. He was never putting Chayim. The books were putting Chayim, and even then it wasn't a real Chayim. Okay, regardless. The Meshach Chochmah says, I'm just trying to help myself now, says there's a difference between korbanos that are brought on bamos and korbanos that are brought in the base of mikdash. A bama is not the base of mikdash, it's not the mizbeach. It's a separate altar that they use to be able to do something, but it's not the base of mikdash. So here's the pshat. The pshat is, if something is brought on a bama, all it's there for is to knock down the avodah zarah at the time. If it's brought on a mizbeach, then it's brought in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then it's brought for the right reasons. So the pshat behind the Rambam is true by a bama. The pshat behind the Ramban is true by a mizbeach, by the mizbeach of the base of mikdash. So they're both right, but they're talking about different situations. Why do you bring a korban on a bama? The Rambam, because you want to act on the avodah zarah. Why do you bring a korban in the base of mikdash? Because you want to see yourself die. You want to see yourself in what you should be deserving. All right, you ready for the question on the Ramban? Question on the Ramban. Does anybody have a kasha on the Ramban? Ramban says again, you're supposed to look at yourself as if you're dying. You're supposed to feel bad about the sins that you did. How could you have done such a thing?
Why would you feel bad?
Why would you feel bad?
I'm talking about being bad.
I don't know. According to the Ramban, feeling bad about the chait that I did, the sin that I did, so therefore I bring a korban, and it says, if I'm that korban, as if I'm dying, what about a shlomin? There we go. That's the famous kasha they ask in the Ramban. What about a shlomin? What do you do with a shlomin? Peace offering is not brought for a chait. So why would I bring an animal? What's the pshat in bringing an animal? Okay. There's an answer. The shlomim is, according to the Ritva, we can answer it easily. Because again, it's not about sinning in the past. It's about sinning in the future. It's to keep me from sinning. So I can bring a shlomim in order to look at my animal going down to say, that would be me if I would sin. That's what you can do with it. The Talmud as well. The Talmud is an Ola, by the way. Talmud is an Ola. So a Korban Ola will automatically be able to be understood. That we're chayiv every single day. Korban Toda is still the exact same thing. I was chayiv to die. I almost died. So I'm looking at myself dying on the Mizbeach. So all these types of ideas by the Shlomim, it's an idea of not that I sinned already and that I feel bad about what I did and I feel it. The Ramban will say that it's talking about the future. I never want to sin because it means that I'm basically dead. It's a physical reminder to be able to do that. That's the idea behind it. Rabbi Schechter says an unbelievable answer, though. Rabbi Schechter had an answer from 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember exactly how long, but he said an answer that's just genius. I don't know if it's his or somebody else's. Let's assume it's his. The answer is, the idea that a korban is not only... does anybody know how much a cow costs? Do you have any idea? $2,000. $2,000 is a good amount. I could get one in our store. I almost got one a couple years ago for $1,300. $1,300. I thought Mashiach was coming. I still do. But I almost got a cow years ago. Then I got a goat. It was a long story. Anyway, but those are not so much. $600. But it was a lot of, no, it was a little bit different. By the way, you have, these are extremely expensive. Extremely expensive. Where is a person going to go out and get the money for this? And not only that, every time you do a chait, you're chayiv in a separate korban. Too many korbanos, a person might be over in a day, in the course of a day. You forget the bench. Forget the bench. You're chayiv a korban. You have a bad thought. You're chayiv in an ola. You're chayiv in tons of things. Put it on a tab. Yeah, basically, but you're still going to run off that tab. You have thousands of dollars, and you got to go over to the base of Mikdash yourself. You have to walk over to the base of Mikdash. You know how much of a tirchum that is? You're going to have to lose a week of whatever you are. Can you imagine if you're living up north, or you're not living in Eretz Yisrael? It's a huge tirchum. Yes, the shlosh we're going. Yeah, the shlosh we're going. Yeah, Vada, you could bring two or three or four. No, but that doesn't count for everything. No. You got to bring a chatas for every single thing you did. Unless you're a chayiv and three things and you only want chatas. The pshat behind the korban is, the pshat behind when I bring a korban is, it's not only a sacrifice of the animal. It's a sacrifice of me, of my time, and my money. And the pshat behind the Ramban is that you're losing yourself. You're ruining yourself. You yourself are going down. That's the pshat that Mi'amloe says the word straight out. V'shachat oso. You're shachting yourself. You're shachting him. By you going to Yerushalayim and you having to pay for it, you having to do this and that, it's a pain. And that's the shrita that's involved over here. That's the idea behind the Ramban. Okay, that's for korbanos. What about a mincha? What about a flower offering? Nothing to do with a flower offering. What do you do? You're not going to watch it die and be like, oh, the flower's dead. You're not going to think anything by it. A bird, maybe. A bird, maybe. But a flower offering? What does that have to do with anything? We can go into the wine libation and the water libation and all those things and try to understand what that's for. But let's start with the mincha. What in the world is chopping on a mincha? Okay. There's a shame Yishmo. We'll end with this. There's Machlokas, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and the Rabbanon. When Avram Avinu saw a vision of the bris bein abasar. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and the Rabbanon. When Avram Avinu saw the vision of the bris bein abasar, meaning God told him, take animals, split them in half, and walk in between them, and put the birds at the very end, walk in between them, and he had a vision of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to do for all future generations for Klal Yisrael. So Chazal say that what Avram Avinu saw was the way to make a korban. That even if his children sin, there will always be a kapara for them. They can always bring a korban, an animal or a bird, and they'll get a kapara. The kasha is, did he also see a mincha? Did he also see a mincha? Did he see a flower offering? Or no, only birds and animals? Because it only mentions the animals and it only mentions the birds. Did he have flower in his pocket? Did he have a bit of flower in there? Did he have flower anywhere? Or did he not see that at all? So Shimba Yochai says, yes, he saw a flower offering. He saw that a mincha was going to work. And the Rabbanan say, no, he did not see it. He never saw it whatsoever. Now we have to understand, the mincha that you bring when you sin, it's called a minchas chote. It is a plain flour offering. You do the little kamitza, you hold up the flour, but you do not pour in it oil, and you don't pour in lavona, frankincense, shemit or lavona. You don't put anything in. It's a plain flour offering because it's being brought for a sin. And the Kaddish world is saying you don't have shemit, you don't have lavona, you don't have to do anything. So it's a famous, what? You take it and you burn it on top of the mizbeach. You take the kamitza, pour it in a pan. Take the pan and you put it on top of the mizbeach. If there's oil and frankincense, it's a little bit more liquidy. You have to be bold. You have to mix it a little bit and then you put it on. But otherwise, you just pour the flour on top.
Does flour light on fire?
No, it's a hard little thing. Yeah, you can in theory. You can take it. It gets burned up with everything else and you pour it on top of everything else that's there and the sticks that are there, so it does end up burning. But it takes a while, obviously. It takes a while for it to go. But that's a mincha. That's a mincha schote. Why not a shemna lavona? Everybody asks. What? Because the guy sins, he's going to make more money? To pay for oil and to pay for frankincense costs a little bit extra money. So for the guy that sins, we're like, you know what? Don't pay for anything else. Just pay for the flour. It's like the cheapest thing in the world. So why in the world are we making him just give a mincha? That's it? You don't have to give anything else? No other thing aside from that? Why don't you have the shemen lavona? Here we go. The Shemi Shmuel says, you know what shemen stands for? Shemen, according to Medrash Rabbah, in Vayikra, stands for Torah and Ma'isim Tovim. That shemen zayis doch is pure Torah and pure Ma'isim Tovim. Livona in the Medrash by Sota, and it's brought down in Rashi, says there's no Livona on the Korban of a Sota when a Sota brings her Mincha. There's no Livona, there's no frankincense. Why? Because Livona stands for Zchus Avos, the Zchus Imaos. What we're saying is that this guy who's sinning is so bad, he has no Torah helping him, he has no Maisim Tovim helping him, he has no Zchus Avos, and he has no Zchus Imaos. This guy is nothing. When you're bringing your mincha, it's like you're on your own. Nobody's helping you. Excuse my language, but you're a piece of garbage. You're a piece of garbage. You're a nobody. You're a nothing. You don't deserve to be alive. You deserve to be dead. And thus, it's a piece of flour that never was alive. You're going to represent yourself with flour, with this little dust that's going to be like your dust after you die. And it doesn't even represent a cow, which we're burning to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, which represents my limbs and my blood. It's just me after I'm dead. It's my upper ve'efer, my ashes and my dust after I die, that I'm just nothing in the middle of the ground. I can't even see a body. I'm just dead and gone, and there's nothing there. That's what's being put on top. Question is, Avraham Avinu understood that chesed makes you be able to bring a korban. That God gives you chesed, God gives you kindness, and he says to you, don't worry, here's my chesed, you can get a kapara by bringing a korban. You can get an atonement by going out and bringing a korban. That's what he says. That's what it would be. So Kaddish Baruch Hu says that. Did Avraham Avinu understand that? Of course. He's the man of chesed. So to him, Kaddish Baruch Hu said, if the guy sins, he can still bring a cow. Still bring a goat. He can bring a sheep. He can bring two birds. But a mincha is different. It's beyond the chesed of Avraham Avinu. The chesed of Avraham Avinu was still limited. As great as Avraham Avinu was, it was limited. He'll give chesed to a lot of people, but he won't give chesed to the greatest Rishayim. He had no chesed for Nimrod. He had no chesed for the people who lost their Zchus Avos and Zchus Imos, for the people who were pure Rishayim and only did Averas and didn't have any Torah, Mice, and Tovim. Those people are Rishayim. Not even Avraham Avinu could give such a person such a chesed that they could be machaber, they could have a kapara with a mincha. There's no way. Avinu couldn't do that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Rabbanim, did not show the mincha to Avraham Avinu. Because it was unfathomable. That level of chesed was unfathomable even to Avraham Avinu. He couldn't fathom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have such chesed for such a Rasha. How could you have that? But Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, no, we did see it. Because as we said before, anybody who brings a korban has to do tshuva first. Which means even though he has no Torah, he has no Maisim Tovim, he has no Zchus Avos and no Zchus Imos, he's done tshuva. And that brings a little bit back, and that person, Avraham, you don't understand, oh, he did tshuva, that person could get a kapara. And therefore we'll give him a mincha. There's no shaman, there's no lavona, but I can give him a mincha, and he was shown that mincha. What's the lesson, says the Shem Yishmuel? The fact is that God always forgives a person. God can always give you back, no matter how low you go, no matter how far you're off. It does not make a difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept your tshuva, your kapara, and your korban, no matter how bad you are. Even if you have nothing left, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always accept you. That's the lesson that you learn from this whole idea. The question is whether or not even Avraham Avinu was able to fathom it, and only Avraham Avinu. Nobody else came even close to fathoming korbanos. They couldn't understand. You can give such a chesed, they couldn't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do something. They understood how. They understood the what, maybe. Maybe they understood the sod, but the chesed behind it, that they could never get. Except Avraham Avinu, and even Avraham Avinu, there's a suffix if he ever understood the idea of a mincha. If there's a suffix, it's such a rasha that he's like he's dead during his lifetime, and he's dust on the earth. Even Avraham Avinu understands such a kapara. The Rabbanim say no. Rav Shimon bar Yochai says yes. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a good Shabbos.